One of the wisdom tradition teachers, Garib Dorje, says there's three vital points, only three points to this kind of direct method. First is directly recognize your true nature. So that's what we're going to do, directly recognize your true nature. Then number two is decide for yourself that it's true. Don't ask teachers, don't ask books. Feel, let the knowing know whether it's real, whether it's true. And then the third is proceed with confidence in the spontaneous unfolding. So proceed with a trust once you realize it's true. So this is about you recognizing your nature. So you start by looking up here as if I have information to give you. But then I'll say, my information is look that way. Look within, look back that way. That's where you're going to find what you're looking for. Yeah? So anyone with comments, questions, clarifications, we'll kind of clear up early on kind of any concerns about method. I'm going to go into a little bit about the difference between deliberate mindfulness and effortless. But other than that, we're going to do a lot of experiments. So a couple of questions here. Yeah, and we have a microphone. We'll wait till it gets passed around.
I thought we know about the zone.
What's that?
What's been called the zone.
Yeah.
Is that related? It feels related.
That's right. So that's kind of the one of the things that I find is kind of the thing that we know, the kind of secular experience that people relate to what is the basis of awakening. It's kind of a glimpse of it. Yeah. The zone or the flow state, yeah. Doesn't have quite the compassion or the open-heartedness, which we need to kind of point to.
I think I had the same question. What's a meditative state versus a flow state versus the open-hearted awareness?
Right. Yeah. So, and this is what we'll distinguish is that when you are a meditator or you're in your current sense of self and you go into a meditation state, watching your breath, your brain will calm, and that's a state because then you return to the normal, small, separate sense of self that's a little calmer. So you have this state that then you return to. A glimpse or open-hearted awareness, you're shifting to a new operating system or a new sense of who or what everything's arising to. So you're not focusing on the states or the contents of consciousness. You're shifting the sense of what is everything arising to. Your level of mind or your level of identity is shifting. And I think in a flow state, I actually call it flow consciousness, because if you're really in it, it's who you are and who you're operating from. It's a natural state. It's a natural condition. But the main thing is I'm just using that as a transitional metaphor, just to give you a sense that you've had glimpses of this that don't have to be religious or spiritual, or they're just natural, and you naturally shift out of this first level of mind into an interconnected sense. But the main thing is we're upgrading identity and levels of mind rather than calming and soothing our mind and body as it currently is known. Yep, that's what awakening is. It's awakening from a small, separate sense of self to this already open-hearted, dropped, interconnected feeling of well-being that feels like it's who we are. And then that manager part that felt like who we are, the observer that's often currently here, becomes the observed. So you can observe thoughts, feelings, sensations, and you can observe a kind of small ego center arising. Don't you think you need my help right now? Keep things together. Thank you so much for all the hard work you've done. And we will need you when I need to remember my phone number. Okay. Until then, you can relax. Really? Are you sure? I've been doing this. Aren't you a little tired? Oh, yeah. Can I? You can rest. Really? You sure? What about? But what about? But what about? So this is the thing. We're not killing the ego. We're not fighting the ego. We're actually loving it back to its natural function. It's an ego function. It's part of us. It's not our identity. It's not the center of who we are. It doesn't need to be. So we're just including it as a managing part of us. Anybody else?
So when I've been doing the practices, mm-hmm. I noticed that that small sense of self often feels associated with seeing.
Yes. And good. Yeah, so we're going to do, right before lunch, we're going to do what I call returning seeing to its natural condition. So the two primary senses that tend to dominate and create this grasping in humans are thinking and then seeing. Because seeing, and it's often why people close their eyes when you meditate, which makes it simpler, but then you have to transition because when you get off the cushion, we got to train our thinking and seeing functions, which are the two that kind of quiet down when you sit and withdraw and go to a quiet place and meditate. But now can we return thinking to this awareness-based knowing? And can we return seeing to just a natural, open, receptive dimension of non-grasping? So we'll do a practice for that. Yeah.
Right. So I've been meditating for some time, and my experience, especially when you say you don't need to go to the caves or whatnot to get into this natural state. So my experience has been, if you don't meditate, say daily, hour or something, it's easy to get caught up in this ego self.
Yeah.
So, from my experience, I feel every day you still need to do meditation just to not be caught in this.
So it's just a different form of mindfulness. So instead of, it's not, you know, effortless mindfulness is not, don't do mindfulness. It's not, don't do meditation. It's do it in a way that it's more of a glimpsing style, it's more of a shifting style. And then so instead of meditating from a meditator, you shift out of the meditator into this more natural, awake, embodied consciousness, and then you can sit, and it's what I call marinate instead of meditate. So then you marinate your mind and body in this loving awareness, and it calms and soothes immediately. But then the key is, what do you call it when you get off the cushion and walk around? Who's living the life? Is it the meditator that's a little calmer, or is it the ego that's a little calmer from the meditation, which is better than not? So certainly we'll go for that. But then, and if you like the meditation, certainly as a sitting meditation in the morning, do that. And then I recommend adding these glimpses during the day, which are like 1 to 5 minute little things that you can do in the middle of your morning, looking out the window, sitting on the subway, taking a walk. You can unhook your awareness, have it drop, open, access this awareness that's awake, have it come back, feel interconnected, and then begin to talk and walk and type from there and text, but not while driving.
Can you talk a little bit about the difference between the state that you are describing and what I guess is a pathological state of dissociation?
Yeah. So, yeah, dissociation is a state that is a little closer actually to almost kind of choiceless awareness or witness consciousness or big sky mind, because you're looking from a detached witness. But this is actually opening to the awareness that's equally inside and out and feeling embodied and interconnected. So in some ways, it's exactly the opposite. Now, the first move of any mindfulness is going from being too identified to disidentified. So now that move of separation, disidentification, unhooking, opening to look, is not identified or not associated, but it's not the pathological psychological condition of dissociation. Dissociation is a state of almost going into more like a daydream world that's not connected to your body or to awake awareness. So it's not really related at all. In some ways, it's the opposite. But some part of, you know, part of us, by doing any meditation, can feel like you're, as soon as you move from totally identified to open, there can be a part of you that says, am I dissociated? Am I detached? Where am I? I'm not who I was. Am I depersonalized? And you are, so there is this transition that's not pathological, but there are words that could be applied by usually the defensive part of System 1 that says, you know, come on back and keep operating from here. Any other comments, questions about the model or the premise, theory? Yeah.
No. For me, like from all what you said, the thing that like resonated the most is the moment you said, be aware that the awareness is aware already without effort.
Yes.
So just like, so you're going to do glimpses about that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so that's the whole, in some ways, that's, you know, the magic move. That to be aware of this effortless awareness, and the thing is, you can't think about it, it's not imagination, can't recognize it. Your attention that can be aware of your breath can't be attentive to the awareness, because it's attending from the small mind. So this is often why the transition from deliberate mindfulness, which kind of develops a strong attentional ability to calm and focus, you can't develop that and then from the attender look at awareness, because it's a subject-object thought-based or subtle, can be subtle awareness, but it's a point of view that can't look from here at awareness. So the feeling is that the awareness that's identified has to unhook, almost like a bubble of awareness that's already made of this field of awareness, and it feels like it drops and is aware of your throat from within, aware of your body from within, or it rests back and is aware of the spacious awareness that's already aware. It's like a bubble of awareness that feels that spacious awareness. So this is the new skill. This is the, what does that mean? What is he talking about? You know, this is, you know, when you do deliberate mindfulness, you use, you know, as the basic initial instructions, things that are pretty well known. Bring your attention to your breath. Now bring your, you know, be mindful of thoughts, feelings, sensations. And so those, you know, instructions are like, okay, so the state is different, the experience is definitely new, but I'm adjusting my consciousness, but I kind of know what those things are. I kind of know what attention is. I know what thoughts, feelings, sensations. So this is just this new category of an awareness that's not attention. It is prior to attention in children. It's what children are aware from before they develop language. They have awareness, consciousness, and it's what you can operate from that's called wisdom mind that's post-conceptual, that can use thought, that's not spaced out, and it's not regressed to child consciousness, but it's this flow or this open awareness. So that's what we'll be playing with. And, you know, you can only kind of grok it a little bit, like almost understand what it's not. And then we'll just do these little felt sense experiences that you'll get a sense of it.
So, so is it like a vision, it feels like, instead of tuning in to the what I'm seeing, tuning in to the fact that vision is just happening?
Yeah, so that would be the first half step. So just seeing or just hearing, and then it's just a little relaxation of, okay, seeing goes to an object, and then, okay, neither the focusing on the seen, but just seeing, and now just feel back to the awareness that's aware of seeing. And then let the seeing just be natural. It's just a little more getting to know what's behind the camera rather than just kind of ordinary consciousness that still has a little forward-leaning doer in it. Even just seeing, it still feels like it's coming to this seer, but it's the it's that feeling of something, of that which is aware. It doesn't have a location, doesn't have a point of view, but is totally here and embodied and ordinary once you recognize it.